So as Jeremy said, I've been to Brighton many times before. I'm really excited to be back, but I'm even more excited to be at what I think is the first dedicated Pattern Library conference in the UK. So that's really, really cool. So I assume most people here are either working on or thinking of working on a design system. I saw a lot of hands go up when Jeremy asked the question. But has anyone ever found that after a while, a design system tends to kind of fizzle out a little bit? Well, I have. And I remember when I first read Anna Debenham's book, Frontend Style Guides, in around 2013 or so. It kind of led me down this path to read everything I could about style guides and then pattern libraries and then design systems and so on. And it was almost like having a bit of an epiphany. So I started to see websites in a completely different light. So I saw them more as dynamic systems that change both visually and content-wise, as opposed to something more finite like a brochure or some packaging or something where everything had to be perfect. And I remember thinking to myself, why haven't I been doing it this way all along? And like a lot of people around me, I was really, really eager to start implementing the stuff I was learning straight away. There's a lot of reasons why design systems don't tend to stay updated, because I don't know if you've found the same thing, but I always find that every time I've tried to do a design system, I've really struggled to kind of keep it going and keep the momentum going. And there may be a lot of reasons for this. So maybe, for example, the design system was never really intended to be living in the first place. And this is something that I heard about from Jeremy when I was talking to him about working in an agency. Maybe the whole intent of a design system is actually just to be more of a component library to assist the build. Half my slides have kind of gone missing, so I don't know why. but it's meant to say, there was two more reasons. So it was meant to be, maybe the maintenance was really hard. People weren't kind of taking it up or anything like that. I really don't know what's happened to my slides, but there was meant to be two other reasons there. Maybe it was never meant to be maintained at all. Actually, I need to figure this out, sorry. So it's kind of gone in the wrong order. So let me back up. Here we go. So yeah, maintaining it was too much, and teams found that components just weren't being updated, or they were being updated outside of a design system, and they weren't being cross-checked or updated with the design system. And I found that once it starts getting inconsistencies, the value of it just goes down drastically. Or maybe you found that nobody in the team was using it, and nobody cared about it, and everyone just saw it as kind of extra work. And when deadlines were really tight, keeping a design system at the forefront of their mind, it just didn't really seem like a priority. And it's this last one that I'm going to be talking to you about today. So I personally have found that getting the people that you're working with to really buy into and get excited about a design system is really the key to getting it to be successful. And in fact, the design system that I'm working on now has made far more progress in an extremely shorter amount of time just because I'm working with someone who's excited about it and as sold on it as I am. So how can we get people in our organization, whether it's coworkers or people working in different departments, or maybe our clients or the management at the top, to take ownership of style guides and pattern libraries and design systems, use them, and not forget about them? So what I'm going to be talking about today is, firstly, why design systems are really great. But then I'm going to be talking about why they're not so great. And then I'll talk a bit about, do you actually need a design system? Because maybe not everyone does. And then the business case for a design system. And finally, how you can get buy-in for your design system if you decide to make one. So since you're here, I'm going to assume that you kind of already know a little bit why design systems are really, really cool. So I won't spend too long on this, but these are kind of the top reasons why I really love design systems. So firstly, they keep your website consistent. And as a designer, I love consistency. But it's also great if you're working in a company who has a lot of different products with a lot of different teams, just trying to work under the same brand. So you can keep your website consistent both visually and in terms of experience for the users. Your team has a shared vocabulary. And this might seem like a small detail, and I haven't had much experience in this personally, but I've heard from so many people that I've spoken to that this has been a much bigger and kind of a surprising benefit to design systems that they weren't expecting. So a shared vocabulary just basically means that everyone in your company is referring to the same components using the same names. So you don't have a designer calling a component something, a developer calling it something else. It's just meant to really streamline your communication. So next we have education, and this is probably my favorite reason because of how much this has helped me personally. So I think sometimes we have a tendency to get a little bit frustrated with people when they don't understand how complex a website can be. And like I said, I'm a designer who came from a print background who predominantly works with developers. So I was that really annoying person that thought the web was fixed and I was just really unhelpful. But since talking about this in terms of components, styles, and templates, it really, really helped me create that mental shift that I think everybody needs to be on the same page. Whether you're a designer, a developer, or whether you're someone who's not involved in this space at all, it just helps them think about websites in the right way. You can also develop new features faster, and this is probably the main reason most people will create a design system. So, in theory, after the initial legwork, you should be able to be pushing out new features consistently using already tested components. And if you're pushing out features quickly, in theory, again, you're technically saving money. But as we'll find out a bit later, this is really, really hard to measure. So it makes it a little bit tricky to put forward like a compelling case for it. And finally, they help future-proof your website. So not only does this prevent the need for, you know, doing a redesign like every year or two, but it also means that if you're taking the time to document everything you're doing, it's really helpful if you have maybe new people come onto your team, or maybe if you use subcontractors for some of your work, so they don't have to like dig into your code to try and figure out what they need to do. So this all sounds pretty good, I think. So you might be thinking, I gotta get me one of those. And I really get it, because when you hear things like this and you see these amazing design systems like the Lonely Planet one, for example, which is just beautiful, it's really, really hard not to want one for your company. They not only look amazing, but they're also, they just look really useful. Everything's organized, everything's accounted for, everything's documented. It really looks like a joy to work on, and you kind of imagine your team just collaborating, happy together, it's gonna solve all your problems. And it seems like there are pretty much no downsides. And let's face it, at the minute, it kind of feels like everybody's doing it. So you might be thinking, well, maybe I should be too. Everyone else is doing it, I need to do it as well. But not to kind of kill the dream or anything, but before you kind of launch in and make one, it's a really good idea to think about what it is you're actually getting into. So don't make the same mistake that I did. I got so excited about the world of design systems, I wanted to systemize everything, even if it wasn't in the best interests of the company. And I'm a freelancer, so I work on a more of a per project basis. So a client would come to me with a specific problem, and I'd be there trying to like force a pattern library down their throat. And I tried to integrate a pattern library into every website I was making. And as I did that, I found a bunch of drawbacks, which kind of leads me to why design systems are not so great. So this is what I found when I started working with them. Firstly, they're an awful lot of work. I wasn't really prepared for the headaches that I'd get trying to design for reusability. At times, it felt like I'd solved one problem, but then created about 10 more for myself, and it was really frustrating. Maintenance is really hard. And there's a quote that I read from Vitaly Friedman from Smashing Magazine, where he says he's yet to see a pattern library emerge from like a mid-sized team with limited resources that's remained up to date just 6 months after its release. Because building it is one thing, but keeping it maintained and updated and useful is something else entirely. They're really, really confusing. It seems like there's just no right way to create a design system. There's no step-by-step template that you can follow. And I don't know about you, but for me, it just always feels like I'm just taking a stab in the dark as to whether I'm doing the right thing or not. And this is actually a really big roadblock for me personally. So I spend way too long obsessing over different tools, looking at how other people are doing it and thinking I should be doing it this way, that I'm kind of scared to make a decision and stick with it. I'm just really worried that I'm going to do something that's going to mess something up. So I end up doing nothing at all, which is really bad. You also can't really guarantee a return on investment. So I think a return on investment for a design system really depends how it's taken up within your organization. So you could end up spending more time developing it, and then just a few months later, nobody's using it. So you don't really have a return on investment. Your website might be a bit more consistent, but was it really worth all that time and resources that you plugged into it? And finally, it's not foolproof. Now, I don't know if you're all aware, but Alla Kolmatova, who's here today, has just opened up pre-orders for her book on design systems. So I ordered it instantly, and I was reading it on the train down here. And I really like this quote, so I just had to throw it in. And she says that no pattern library is going to fix bad design. Patterns can still be badly designed, misused, or just combined in ways that don't work as a whole. And this is actually something that I hadn't really considered up until now. But I think a lot of people, myself included, expect a pattern library to fix every problem in a design. But that's not what a pattern library does. It's not necessarily going to make the user experience better just by virtue of having one. So that kind of leads me to my next step, which is determining whether you actually need one or not. Although I'm going to slightly rephrase it to, what kind of design system do you need? And the reason I decided to rephrase it is because I don't really want to give the impression that designing modularly is ever really a bad thing, because I know that I'm a much better designer for when it comes to designing a website for a client. All the stuff that I've been learning about pattern libraries and design systems makes me a better designer, even if it doesn't turn into something in the end. But the difference is deciding whether you need something as big and as beautiful as the Lightning design system, for example. So how can we determine what kind of design system you need? Well, the first thing to think about is the size of your team. And in general, but not always, the smaller the company, the less need you're going to have for a fully fledged design system. And that's because smaller teams typically have an easier time collaborating with each other than larger teams, who could be spaced out all over the world. So creating and maintaining a living design system might actually prove to be more work than just working together and sort of getting stuff done and shipped. But that doesn't mean that you still can't build modularly. It just means that you might not need to fully document it all in a proper design system just yet. Because ultimately, the need for a design system has to be greater than the effort required to keep it maintained. And when you're a small team, a design system can often be more of a hindrance than a help. The next thing to bear in mind is the maturity of your brand you're creating a design system for. So before you spend too long creating a pattern library or whatever it is, you just need to make sure that your brand is stable enough for it not to be really outdated really quickly. So for example, if you're a startup and you're doing a lot of experimentation, things are going to be changing a lot as you're kind of learning about your market, you're learning about your product, and you're learning about your brand. And that's a really good thing, because you're testing the waters, you're building fast, and you're just making the best product that you can. So it's not always worth building a design system at that point, because it might be out of date by the end of the month. So just keep the time investment minimal until your brand as a whole is a bit more stable to handle it. And then there's, do you have the right mentality? So it's a really big job creating one of these. And almost everyone I've spoken to who's had a hand in building them has said it's been far more big and demanding and complex than they ever imagined it would be. So if you're going to be the one kind of taking this on and kind of championing it, you need to sort of be aware of your role and what that might end up entailing. So for a while, you might find yourself being the sort of one evangelist for a design system while it gets adopted. So you're kind of going to be the one that keeps, you know, slightly encouraging it up the priority list. You'll be the one in charge of educating others, maybe new people who come in, about the design system, encouraging them to use it. And occasionally, you might end up being the target if people don't want to use it or they feel like it's constraining them. And then we have probably the most important reason of all. Do you actually have a problem? So the most successful design systems that I've seen have seemed to have evolved out of a need for something to change drastically in their organization. So maybe the inconsistencies in your website are having a direct impact on conversions. It's not something that I've ever seen data before, but maybe you have some and you can, you know, prove that this is a real problem. Or maybe you can't keep up with the demand of new features quickly enough, or maybe wires are kind of getting crossed between international teams, and you think that a design system could be the thing to solve this. But if you're using a design system to solve a real problem, and you can prove that that problem both exists and that it can be solved, it's a pretty strong case for creating one, because ultimately we're not really creating a design system. We're just creating a solution to an already existing problem, and that just so happens to be a design system. And I really think that's an important distinction to make. And it will come in handy when we talk about the business case for a design system. So, in other words, how can we show that a design system will have substantial benefits to your company? So, like I said earlier, when I first started with design systems, I was really excited, and I wanted all my clients to have one. And I'd usually kind of go into meetings and say something like, applying the principles of modular design now will save you a lot of time, money, and stress further down the line as your business grows. But after a while, I kind of realized that that sounds a little bit lame, and it sounds a bit wishy-washy, and it really made me quite uncomfortable, because I realized that if anyone actually confronted me about how much time, money, or stress it saves and how I can prove it, I wouldn't actually have an answer for them. And what I realized was that I was just assuming that design systems did all these things. And so I started asking myself, is there any solid evidence of any of this? So of course, first thing I did was I took to Twitter. And so I asked Twitter, how much money do you think style guides and or pattern libraries will save your clients in the long run? And I focused on the money aspect because when you're talking about a business case, most of it does boil down to the financial side. And I was quite surprised at the result I got. So it was a little bit different to what I was expecting. I was thinking it would be basically 100% for it saves a bucket load. I wasn't really expecting that 11% of people would say that it loses money, because that's not something that I've ever heard articulated before. I've only ever heard really good things about design systems. I've never heard the bad. And I got into quite a few conversations over this tweet, which was really cool, but it all kind of boiled down to three main responses, which were, yes, they saved money, but I can't actually prove it. No, they don't save money, but they have other benefits, obviously. And then the holy grail of answers to absolutely any question is, it depends. So it was an interesting discussion, but I still wasn't quite satisfied. I really needed more proof. So I didn't have any solid data of my own, so I decided to talk to other people to see if they found anything. And the main issue when I did this was that I found that design systems are usually kind of interconnected with a lot of other projects or other improvements. So even if people were trying to measure results, it was really hard to determine what the results were, what the design system was responsible for versus what was some other change responsible for. But I did manage to find a few people that have made it work. So the first is Thomas Lobinger. So he's from Amazon Web Services, and he says that in 2015 alone, they released 722 new services and features. And for this, over 70 teams around the world were invested in developing the UIs. And he said that the design system with the living UI components was really the only way that they managed to keep up with that rate of growth while still improving the user experience. And I really like this because, firstly, I class it as a pretty good success. And secondly, there was a real need and reason for it. And then I spoke with Alla Kolmatova, and she's actually done some really interesting experiments to try to measure how much time they were saving with their design system. So she said that when she was creating a reusable component, it took maybe 2 or 3 times longer to create something that was going to be reusable versus something that was just going to be used once. But that gets justified after you reuse it about 2 to 3 times. And then the value of that just keeps on increasing every time you use that same component, which sounds amazing. But then she added that they found at times that they'd been reusing components just for the sake of it, when it wasn't always the best solution. So it was a while ago I spoke to her, but when I spoke to her, they were actually working on redoing a bunch of components that they tried to sort of force into their pattern library, because it wasn't the best experience and it just didn't fit. And then another example is from Ryan Rumsey from EA. So he said that the people he was working with already kind of knew the benefits of a design system. But when he was trying to approach management, they really wanted something more data-driven. Because without the data, the conversations just turned way more subjective, which is really hard for business owners to sign off on. So what they did was they convinced about six of the teams to use and evaluate a working prototype of their design system. And they saw that each team that adopted it found it enabled them to work so much faster than the teams that hadn't adopted it. And so now they're finding that more and more teams are coming on board to use their design system, and management don't have an issue with it at all because they can see right in front of them the difference between working with a design system and working without one. And I think these are all really good examples of people who've been actively looking at how to measure the benefits of a design system. And that kind of leads me nicely onto the last point that I want to talk about today, which is how to actually get buy-in for the design system. So there are really two things that you want to do if you want to get buy-in from your company, and we've actually covered both of them in this talk so far. And the first thing is to determine whether you actually really, really need one or not. And you can do this by finding out what are some of the common pains in your company? What are they experiencing? Now, chances are you'll probably already have some problems in mind that you think a design system could fix, and that's good. But it's really important to talk to people and find out whether these are real problems they're experiencing, or find out what the actual problems are. Because the more pains that you can solve for the most amount of people, the more valuable the design system's going to be. So the first thing you want to do is to just talk to people in your organization. So just find out what frustrates them on a day-to-day basis, and don't try to steer the conversation in any way towards talking about design systems or anything related to what you struggle with or what you think they struggle with. Just try to find out what are the things that they wish they could eliminate from their working life. For example, a developer's problem might be that they're under a lot of pressure to keep building new features, but they're getting really complex and inconsistent styling from the designers for each new component. Or maybe they're not getting styling at all and they're trying to have to figure it out for themselves. So the code base is becoming really messy and they're just really struggling to meet the deadlines. Then you could have a product manager who maybe they're frustrated because they're trying to launch new features quickly and they feel like they're just waiting too long. They also feel like these features just don't end up looking anything like they'd envisioned or talked about, which is really frustrating for them. Or maybe you have designers. Maybe their main frustration is because developers never seem happy with them and what they're doing, but they just don't really understand what they could possibly do to be more helpful to them. And these could be problems that are just cropping up over and over again in your company. And chances are your boss probably already knows about them, but just doesn't quite know how to solve them. But from these issues, we can see how a design system can help, whether it's creating core styling so developers aren't having to code each new styles for each new feature, or saving time to be able to launch new features using previously tested components, or even just creating a shared vocabulary so people can talk to each other and work together more effectively. But just by framing it from your colleague's point of view, you can help show that you're really concerned about the success of the business rather than just wanting to try out what they might see as some new trend. Because if you say something like, hey, we're going to take half the team and we're going to go work on a design system for a few months, it's going to be awesome because the website's going to be really consistent. If consistency hasn't historically been an issue in your company, you're not really going to get too far with that. Because the need really does need to be either equal to or greater than the effort required to put this into action. And it is a lot of effort to put something like this into action. And I also want to point out here that if, when you're having these conversations with people, if a design system maybe isn't the best solution, don't feel like you have to do it. Because sometimes there are going to be more effective things that you can do right now that's going to solve some of your company's issues. So the next thing you want to do is to gather some data, both on the problem itself and preferably how the design system can solve it. And really the most effective way, or probably even the only way I've really seen this be successful, is to do some kind of small test project with a design system. So, for example, I spoke to one of my friends, Matteo, who I think might be here today, who used to work at Sainsbury's. So when he first joined, he said there wasn't a style guide or any type of design system. He found the markup just unmaintainable, and he just really struggled to get anything done. And he knew that he wanted some kind of design system in place, but he couldn't just drop everything and start creating it from scratch. So what he did was he used the launch of a new service, which was a new product section for digital music, to create a small design system to show the company how they could benefit. And he did this successfully, and when he presented it, he found that there was basically no backlash, because everybody already knew the issues with the code, and the company just didn't know how to solve it. And so he got the approval and support of the rest of the team to just keep on going. The same thing happened to Wolf Bruning from Otto. So when he started, again, the UI was inconsistent and the code was a mess. So what he did was he got together with a small team of three. It was himself, a front-end developer, and then an external UX consultant. And they started researching the best way to put together a design system. And then what they did was they took one front-end developer from each of their teams, and they just did a small workshop, which kind of resulted in a small but working pattern library. And Otto said that the adoption of the pattern library happened very slowly, but it happened organically. So similar to Matteo, people started to see the benefits themselves, and they gradually started to use it. There was a little bit of backlash at times, but he was really careful not to really fight too hard for it or not to force anyone into using it, because he was confident that the benefits would actually speak for themselves. So just look out for some really small projects that you can use as a case study, both to present to other people in your team, but also just to see for yourself the effect it could have on things like productivity and collaboration. Because I do think that every organization can benefit from a more modular approach. Even just doing a simple exercise like making a style guide or a component cut-up workshop where you find all the inconsistencies in your website can be helpful. And if you see a lot of benefits and it ends up turning into something bigger, then great. But if not, that's kind of okay too. But just by designing with systems in mind, you're still following your craft's best practices. And as Brad Frost says, you really don't need buy-in for that. So my advice would be to just take it slowly, talk to as many people as you can, try to solve real problems, and don't do what I do and worry too much about what other companies are doing. Just try to create something that's really useful for yours. And then if you get any results, whether they're good or maybe even especially if they're bad, feel free to share them and just help others decide whether a design system is for them or not. Thank you.